Hey, welcome back to Corinth in your car. I'm Josh. Here is Luke and Adam.
Yeah, that's me.
Got a call sign? All right, there we go. We're back, and we're excited to be here with you. I'm glad you're listening with us. Whether it is your very first time, I want to say welcome, or if it is your, 170th time or so. We were just talking about the birthday of the podcast was August 4th, 2022, right?
Yeah.
So
August
we're just
4th, 2022.
So we're toddling along, and we're coming up on 3 years in August, but we're happy to be here again. So how are you guys doing? Check in. Scale of 1 to 7. How are you doing today?
1 to 7. There, that's a better number. I was trying to do that with.
It's a biblical number.
Yeah, I like that. I like it better.
Well, but it also makes it you can't go straight in the middle.
No. Yeah.
You know, because like I was
3.5.
Yeah, I was doing premarital counseling with a couple.
Yeah.
The other night, and I tried to do it because like everybody does 1 to 10.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I don't want to be able to say 5, so I said 1 to 5. And then I was like, well. I can still just go right in the middle, and they did. They said, I have 3.
Mm-hmm. So 1 to 7, how are you today?
I'll go at a 6.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Only
6.
Reason.
6.666.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah. The only reason I'm not quite at a 7 is just because I am a little sleepy. That's all.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and there's allergies in the air, and that affects you a little bit.
Correct. Me, it affects a lot of it.
Yeah. Yeah, that was like last night. I'd say I'm probably around that, 6 as well. But I think it's from the keypad as we enter into the office area.
Oh, yeah, yeah, because you have to, it gets on your fingers and you don't wipe your hands off first.
Yeah, and so I rubbed my eyes last night and my eyes just went nuts. Nice. So
I'm playing basketball outside right now. You dribble the basketball on the ground and it picks up the pollen and it gets all over your hands. So for context, if we were using a 10-point scale, 6 out of 7 would be 85%. So we just said 8.5.
Yeah.
Okay.
So then,
I feel like that would be about right.
Well, I was also going to say a 6, but I'm not sure we can say 666.
The reason we all went 6 because we're really all feeling like a 7, but we can't ever actually say.
No, if I felt like a 7, I'd say like a 7.
All right. I never go, I'm at a 10 right now. You know what I mean? Or
there's some 10 days that I've had in my life.
Sure.
But yeah. As you listen, it is the last day of March. That's going to be Monday as we record. Yeah. It's college basketball, Sweet 16 tonight. It's opening day of MLB is what we were just talking about too. So will you be watching any of that?
No. Have I watched any of it? That's even a better question.
I haven't. This is probably the first year I have not watched a single game yet.
Yeah. March Madness, that is.
March Madness game. We might turn on one of the Braves games this weekend.
Are they playing today or no?
I think they are. I think they're away. They don't start at home this year. So they've got an away stretch. We'll probably turn on one or two of those games and just have it on. My wife really likes baseball, so we enjoy watching the Braves together some. It's actually kind of I don't think I've ever not watched a college basketball game in March Madness up to this point. I haven't this year, so
I haven't watched much. I just watched. Really, it wasn't even because I wanted to watch it. I was just doing a little exercise, and so I turned it on in the background.
Yeah,
I watched Gonzaga and.
It's because it's a horrible product. I mean, let's just go ahead and say it. It's just bad.
I'll tell you what, though. I think Final Four is in San Antonio this year, which is kind of fun.
Yeah.
San Antonio is a great host city for that.
Mm-hmm.
And they've had it there several times. So.
It's just bad.
Not like it used to be, right?
No, it's not.
Yeah.
I was following basketball a little bit more this season, but it was NBA. Because it was exciting. The Spurs were kind of doing a lot better than they have in years past. And by years past, I mean like last few years.
Right.
But then Wimby had like that whole season ending thing. And
I don't know kinda, what happened.
No, I'm kind of sad. I don't know. He has a...
No. What happened is
they
are wanting a higher draft pick.
Well, maybe.
So, no, there's no maybe about this. They sat him down. They're sitting down De'Aaron Fox. They're sitting everybody down.
He has a blood clot in his shoulder.
Whatever.
And so he has to take blood thinners, and you can't play sports on blood thinners.
Yeah.
Were they in the running for any sort of playoff push?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
But, barely.
Yeah, I think we would have ended somewhere between 6 and 10.
Right, which is where you don't want to be.
Which is play-in tournament.
Okay.
Yeah, you don't want to be. And so it's just like, hey, he's got a quote-unquote blood clot.
I was going to say, you know, depending on how important the game is, I've seen games where people went out with a horrible, you know, some sort of injury, and then they came back after the commercial break, and they got shot up with something. Mm-hmm. And they were just fine. So depending on how we're
that's all ortho. This isn't ortho. This is a blood clot.
Yeah,
I'll defend him. Mm-hmm. I'll defend him.
Yeah, it's not him that you need to defend. It's
the franchise. Oh man, the franchise of the San Antonio Spurs is nothing but classy.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, Greg Popovich, just classy.
Well, in the basketball world, yeah, he's a little bit out there with some of his
other stuff.
Yeah. Yes, for sure. But in the basketball world, he's always been stand up.
Yeah, whatever.
What sorts of weekend plans do you have? You didn't say you're watching.
I'm going to argue with Adam about
basketball or baseball. Maybe you're watching baseball later. Any other weekend or April plans? What are we doing?
Oh golly, all the way to April. Well, this weekend is the Forged Men's Conference, so yeah. I'll be there. That'll be fun.
Yep.
Car show next April. Weekend.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. We'll sprinkle in some disc golf in the midst of that, and of course Easter is this month. So, yeah, full calendar, but really exciting stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Adam, anything to add?
No, I think that's all good. I mean, looking forward to the Masters and open with the
tradition like no other.
Weather and did you know that Jim Nantz has decided when he's going to retire? No. 2036.
Whoa.
Okay, weird.
Yeah, he's already thrown that out there. So it would be the 100th anniversary of the Masters. He wants that to be his
last one.
His last one.
Oh, yeah. How old is he now? That's 9 more years.
He's not that old.
Okay.
Yeah, he's not terrible. Like, as far as age goes.
Yeah.
He's great on the mic.
Absolutely.
And one of the best.
Does the Masters always coincide with Easter?
No.
How does it?
It's the first weekend of April, I think, if I remember right.
Well.
Is that right?
I thought it was 11th and 12th this year.
Is it? Okay, so maybe it's the second weekend.
April 10 through 13 this year, which is the second weekend of April.
Okay,
cool.
Yeah, it's always scheduled for the first full week in April, is what it says.
Oh, the first full week. Okay,
so cool. So the weekend following the first full week.
Yes.
Well, because we've got the 31st Monday.
Right, the Thursday.
So it can't be the 3rd through the 5th.
Yes, so the Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Gotcha.
Sunday.
Yeah. Cool.
This is why people.
I am glad we have that all straightened out. So let's go
on. It's fitting because the Sunday at the Masters is Palm Sunday, and so you got to make sure that the club fits in your palm just right in order to get the right swing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
if you're holding your golf club in your palm, you're doing it wrong.
Oh, that makes.
Let's go on to our next segment in the news. All right, we got two options. We got two options. What is your choice? One or two?
I haven't even pulled up the rundown or the sermon yet.
So then let's do one.
All right. Number one says, what is happening right now? There we go. Cold water swimmers in the Czech Republic set a new world record for the largest polar bear dip.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, here's the picture right there.
Oh, love it.
There was 2,461 participants were involved in the successful attempt on the most, I guess the lake is called the Most Lake. That's funny. its name is the Most Lake in Northwest Czech Republic.
That's hilarious.
That messed me up reading because it's the capital M, Most.
The Most Lake. So it's like they were, you know. Going out on all these adventures.
All the lakes. They found a lake. The Most Lake.
They found a lake that was a little bit smaller, and they're like, you know, we'll just name this one a normal name. Yeah. And then they got to this one. It's like, wow, this is the most lake I've ever seen.
I know. Yeah. Now, this smashed it because the previous record was 1799, and now it's 2461. So, like 500 more people, something like that. How cold do you think it was? To be
outside or in the water?
Well, in the water. To officially be a cold plunge, it has to be below 50 degrees Fahrenheit. But this was colder. How cold do you think it was?
in Czech Republic.
36 degrees.
I'm going to go 41.
38.2.
Ooh, right with close.
I mean, that is... And that's, so, that's so cool. To count it, they also had to stay underwater. I believe it was for at least a minute. All of them had to stay at least up to their waist, at least
consecutively, or in different spurts. Like I can do 10 seconds in and
no consecutive. What okay. 60-second stretch? All 2,400 and whatever there was had to be under the water,
right?
For that long. So
wow,
you guys ever cold plunges?
No,
Adam, you have.
I have.
Yeah.
Have you ever done 38 degrees?
No.
What's the coldest you've gone?
Oh, I have no idea.
I don't know what the coldest is, but I did. Golly, what's the name of the creek in Joplin with the fall?
Shoal Creek?
Shoal, right.
Yeah.
I did Shoal in the winter. So
okay.
It was cold. I don't know what the water temperature was, but it was nice.
Yeah. It is nice. Feels good on those muscles after you've taken a hike or something. Or...
Once you get past a certain point.
Yes. All right. Hey, we're winding down this week. The sermon series Blueprints, it's been a good 4 weeks. And so, Adam, before we jump into the specific message, just let's do 30,000-foot view again. What are your hopes for these 4 weeks? What are you hoping we've been able to accomplish?
No, I just hope that we've been able to just remind us and maybe even instruct for the very first time, just so what is the whole thing that God wants to do with the church and how does it work? How do we stay on mission? And so I'd say that's just kind of where we've been, just trying to remind us of what we're doing here.
Yeah, the famous quote, man needs to be reminded more than he needs to be instructed.
Yep.
Applies here for sure. So Luke, you said you haven't pulled up the message yet. So this question might not apply to you.
Well, I've read the message and given feedback. I was more specifically talking about how I hadn't pulled it up on the computer.
So the question does apply. What did jump out to you from this message?
Yeah, I think just the word legacy jumps out. One of the things that was on my mind is just you don't have a choice. You're going to leave a legacy. Like everybody leaves a legacy. The question is whether or not it's going to be one that's awesome or one that's not so awesome. So right, like you're going to leave a legacy. So we want to make sure we're really intentional about the stuff that we're doing now, so that what we pass down is worthwhile and important. So I thought that came across in the message, it was helpful for me whenever I began to just think through that, to ask some questions, just be like, okay, so I am leaving behind a legacy. What am I doing today that's setting it up to be the legacy that I want it to be?
Yeah, for sure. One thing that jumped out to me, just that phrase, be strong in grace, and we'll get to that here in a minute after this first part of the text is read. But it was, 2 Timothy chapter 2, just a great passage. I believe, Adam, you said it was the most clear passage in the scriptures of just four-generation discipleship, you're teaching to someone who's then going to teach who can teach. So it's for like a great-great-grandchild spiritually kind of idea.
Right. Yeah.
And that's the kind of legacy we need to
That's the kind of legacy that Timothy is coming out of too, because there's the other part in 2 Timothy where right before you get to the famous all scriptures God breathed and is useful for.
Yep. Exactly.
Like, I am, remember what your grandma and your mother taught you, and it's passed down. So
Lois and Eunice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So why don't we get started by just reading these two short verses here to start out. Luke, you got 2 Timothy 2, 1 and 2.
Yeah, Paul writes, Timothy, my dear son, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. You have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others.
Excellent. That's the four-generational kind of discipleship there. And Adam, I pointed out how I liked how you pointed out the phrase, be strong in grace.
Mm-hmm.
So talk to me about that in your study, why it's so important to be strong through grace. What does that mean? Remind us.
Well, it's just the reminder that it's not a reliance on yourself. It's not a reliance even on outside strength. It is literally be empowered in the grace. And so it's not, if the context is about... if it is about not just multiplication, but if it's also about enduring during suffering and all the other things that are there, then it is not him telling Timothy, you're going to have to tough it out on your own. It's a, let God's grace continually give you the power that you need and allow that to be where you're finding all of those things. And so, it's this inner spiritual empowerment. It's actually the same verb that Paul uses in Philippians 4, where okay. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Oh, good. Yeah.
And so it's drawing our strength from the grace that is in Christ, and that effective ministry is done not in my power, but in God's power. And so that's where he's just kind of starting him off here as he goes on to it.
How would one do that practically every day in life, be strong in grace? How do you remind yourself of that grace?
Yeah, I think you go to the center of the bingo card, and it's going to be
rhythms.
Yeah, it's going to be your rhythms. It's going to be preaching to yourself. It's going to be those things. And just practically reminding yourself that God's grace is not just for my salvation. It's for my daily strength.
Yeah.
And so that's what I would say.
Yeah. Grace is not just saving, it's sustaining.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, for sure. We talked about, you know, the clearest description, the mandate for multiplication in the Bible for generations. It can be a weighty task to think about all that's at stake, all that you have to do. I was reminded of this, whether it's original to Groeschel or not. He says, we often overestimate what we can accomplish in the short run, but we vastly underestimate what we, and then God through us, can accomplish in the long run. So talk to me about how that might apply here in this four-generational sort of discipleship. What pops into your mind there?
I think that when it comes to the thought process of we've got to pass down the faith, we've got to share our faith, we've got to be mission-focused, I think that sometimes we can get overwhelmed. And it's like, okay, tomorrow every single person in my life that doesn't know Jesus has to know Jesus. And so I, like, it's make it or break it, because it all relies on what I'm able to do right now, tomorrow, all that sort of stuff. And that kind of gives us the tunnel vision to the immediate. But that often never works. It's often planting seeds, allowing the Spirit to work over the course of a long time. And so if we feel like sometimes we can bite off more than we can chew, in this sense, which isn't necessarily bad because it's all noble. We need to be people who share our faith. But if it gets to the point to where we feel overwhelmed, then slow down and play the long game here.
Yeah, I think it reminds me of what Alan Algrim told me once. You know, Adam, the preaching of a sermon can change a life, but it's the preaching of sermons that changes a culture.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is that Eugene Peterson phrase, it's the long obedience in the same direction. And so I don't want to necessarily call it a tension, but there's just I do think we have to keep in mind that we need the intensity as though we were going after killing a snake. But we also need the endurance of a marathon runner, because it's not going to be a fast fix.
Right.
And so I think you got to hold both those things, one in each hand.
Yeah. So you started out, Luke, and you said, you know, every single person in my life, I need to share the good news with, all this stuff. And just to throw back what we say around here a lot, who is your one?
Right.
I didn't even know this until just now, but I did some math. Do you know what the math would say if you reached one person this year?
Yeah.
And then next year, if both of you reached a one.
Right.
Right.
Play that out in 10 years. You know what that number is?
A lot.
Yeah. What would that be?
1,024.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's just one.
Yeah.
That's right. Only one person, you know, and then each one of them. So multiply that by 100 or 200 or 300 or whatever. And so the encouragement would be just do, you know, focus on one and,
right.
Exponential results.
Yeah, I think a good book, and I think we did it in small group a few years ago, but it'd be Eidelman's One at a Time book.
Yeah, that's a great book.
Yep.
You know, just kind of having that one at a time mindset. And and so I think that's super helpful.
Yeah.
Yep.
Of just like, you know what, I can't can't save the world, but I can focus on one person.
Right.
Yeah.
We had a student last night who brought a first-time visitor to Connect, and she walked up to me with her friend, and the way that she introduced her friend right in front of her was, "Hey, Luke, this is my one." I was like, awesome.
Yeah, what the friend really,
just smiled, and then we talked, and cool. You know, it was a cool moment.
Cool. Well, Adam, you said Paul's plan was to do this impact, relational and generational. I love that phrase. Mm-hmm. So it's not necessarily a perfect system or something, but it's relational.
Yeah.
And so talk to me just a little bit about that phrase and your study and what kind of jumps out there.
So I think one of the interesting things that, and I'm trying to remember how exactly it's worded in the New Living, it's trustworthy people.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do think it's interesting that what Paul is telling Timothy is you need to make sure that what you're doing, Timothy, as pastor at First Christian Church of Ephesus, is make sure that you're entrusting the teachings to faithful people who have the capacity to move things forward. You know, he's like, that's where you need to be intentional. And so that is relational. And that's what leads it to being generational. But that's his strategy. Invest deeply in reliable, trustworthy people who can in turn do the same thing. And that's what creates that multiplication scenario in discipleship.
I believe you've quoted Alan before, who was quoting someone else, right, about the strong and slow.
Yeah, I think go slow, go let me see. It's from the master plan of evangelism.
Yeah.
And so what was Jesus' disciple making strategy? And it was small, slow, and strong.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the textbook that I had in one of my classes.
I'm sure it is.
Robert Coleman.
Yeah, it's a classic. Yeah,
it's a great one. It's on my
book kind of stuff. Yep.
Go slow, go small, go strong. You know, Jesus had 12 guys, and so that's small. He spent 3 years with them. That's slow.
Mm-hmm.
But he went all the way into the deep end of the pool with them, and that's the strong.
Well, and go even further with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesus did that with the 12. But even within the 12,
Yep.
Jesus had three,
mm-hmm.
who were Peter, James, and John, that he took a little bit deeper.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had one that he duplicated himself into, mm-hmm. which is Peter. Right? So there's this, I'm going to have 12. I'm not going to have, you know, thousands upon thousands upon thousands.
Right.
I've got 12. But even among those 12s, Peter, James, and John.
Yeah.
And then Peter, right? So it's like Jesus had one, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's funny. Well, so we have a few more verses of this text. About how this generational and relational plan sort of works out. And Paul does a really cool thing to illustrate it with three examples I think we can relate to. So are you ready to read again, Luke?
Yeah.
All right, take it away.
Yeah, Paul writes, "Endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Soldiers don't get tied up in the affairs of civilian life, for then they cannot please the officer who enlisted them. And athletes cannot win the prize unless they follow the rules. And hardworking farmers should be the first to enjoy the fruit of their labor. So think about what I am saying. The Lord will help you understand all these things."
Awesome. So much fun stuff here. And to start out, I thought it would be fun. There's three examples here. There are three of us around the table. So we'll each take one. And so, Adam, when you think of a soldier, someone who is focused and sacrificial, what sort of mentor type person would pop into your head who is more like a soldier?
I was thinking about it in a little bit of a different vein.
But, oh, sure. Go answer how you were thinking of it.
Yeah, so I actually got to spend a little bit of time with him yesterday with Mr. Bill Schuler, one of our...
Mm, cool. Well, literal.
Yes.
I mean, soldier. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. I don't remember how they say it. Whenever he retired, he was a lieutenant colonel in the Army, and so, but yeah, he's just kind of a picture in my mind: loyalty, courage, endurance, obedience. You know, even at a place to where,
mm-hmm.
you know, now his physical health is not where he would want it to be. And he's obviously discouraged, you know, by it, but there is still just this warrior mentality of, but it is what it is. And so just going to keep it on. Mm-hmm. And so that was probably the guy who came first to mind for me.
Yeah. And you talk about, you know, the Navy SEALs in The Message, mm-hmm. and don't ring the bell. Mm-hmm. I think that's...
I didn't know that.
I think that's true of Mr. Shuler.
I didn't know that in the training they had a bell they could get out.
Yeah.
That was fascinating.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, they do.
I would be ringing the bell.
Yeah, I don't know what the Army Rangers have.
I don't think I would get
that's true.
Where I have the chance to ring the bell. But anyway.
Well, the only bell that I ring is a Taco Bell run at midnight.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Athlete is the number two example. So Luke, who, for you, comes to mind when you think of athlete, someone who is disciplined and obedient?
Yeah. I didn't think the first person that popped into my mind wasn't mentor Raul, although.
Well, sorry.
But it's Dusty, my friend Dusty.
Okay,
And one of the reasons that I say this is because he wasn't always this way. Mm. So, you know, freshman year of college, whenever we first got to know each other, Dusty, and he would be the first to tell you, he was someone who really lacked discipline. And just over the course of several years and now serving in ministry and all that sort of stuff, he actually really has become one of the most disciplined people that I know, always prioritizing the right things, always making sure to stick to his convictions, just incredibly disciplined and obedient as well, open to the prompting of the Spirit. He demonstrates it super well. And also he's a super freak athlete who runs a million miles a day. So
one of my favorite stories that you've told about him, or maybe somebody else is telling me, but it doesn't matter. It's about him. He was out for a run and his watch buzzed at him and said, "Hey, good job running. How about a few more miles?" And he's like, "Okay." So he did a few more and then it buzzed again. "How about a few more?" Okay.
Yeah.
And he ended up running like a half marathon just because.
Just because, yeah. I mean, and the dude has done 50Ks at like a sub 7 minute mile pace. So.
Oh, yeah. No, he's a real deal there. So.
Real deal.
Farmer was the third illustration, hardworking and patient, and I'm the third one at the table here. So
yeah, so Josh, who is this for you?
Well, so I thought of my friend Derek as well, because Adam, what you talked about in the sermon was no one tells the farmer that they have to get up at 5 a.m. and do it.
Correct.
They have to be self-starters.
Yep.
They don't get applauded for their work. And I was just chatting with Derek last Friday on the phone. It was really cool. It was dark for him, but light for me. The sun was coming up and the sun had set for him because he's in Vietnam and he's, you know, overseas and doing work that no one tells him to do. And it's hard. He has to think creatively of how to get the gospel out and just all sorts of stuff. So,
yeah. Tell me that while you were on the phone with him, a rat scurried by, and it didn't faze him at all.
Didn't faze him at all. He was just on the phone. He goes, "Oh, hey, little rat." He's like, "We're in this big city, and it's kind of like New York, and you just see him and things like that." But no, it was a really encouraging conversation, because like a farmer, they got to be creative. They have to harvest when it's harvest time, and for him, he's had to do a lot of those same types of things where, you know, making up new ways to share the gospel. So putting the gospel story on SD cards that people can load into their phone somehow and passing out SD cards as like tracks kind of stuff.
Right.
Or putting the gospel story in picture form on a bandana and sharing it that way. Like there's just been all sorts of ways they've had to figure out how to do it. And he's, I say patient as well, because he's been over there now. He said, "This is crazy." He said, "I've lived here longer than any other city in my life."
Wow.
Which is pretty cool. You know, to think about that. So anyway, those are three illustrations for us. I'm sure as you listen, you can think of someone who for you is like a soldier, an athlete, or a farmer, and hopefully inspire you. Adam, I want to go to this phrase. I love this. Think about this, is what Paul says. Yeah. So why does Paul say think about it, and why is this important? Talk to us about the the study for this message and why this is so important.
Yeah, so this is, he's telling him you need to ponder these things. And so if you think about the focus and sacrifice of a soldier and the discipline and obedience of an athlete and the hard work and patience of a farmer, he's just really painting for Timothy a picture of here's how you're going to last in ministry. Here's how you're actually going to be in a place to where you're going to be able to hand off to trustworthy people, is you're going to have to do all of these things. Mm-hmm. And it's going to take a lifetime of development. There's no shortcuts to it. And so he's just like, he's encouraging him to just ponder these things. And it might be an invitation as well to just like to really just peer deeply into those three metaphors.
Mm-hmm.
Those are metaphors, right? Are they metaphors or are they similes?
Does he say like?
Does he use like or as?
That would be a simile if it's like or as, right?
Yep.
So,
but anyway, so it's just this, he's just asking him to just, hey, if you reflect on this, it might reveal a little bit more about how each of these things apply to your specific situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think about Timothy taking over the Church of Ephesus, taking over, you know what I'm saying, mm-hmm. being the lead, lead guy there.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a church where I don't know if at this point or not she's there yet, but this is where Mary ends up.
And John. Imagine you're Apostle John's pastor.
Yes.
Oof.
I mean.
And the mother of Jesus.
John is buried there.
How about having Mary for some great sermon illustration?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Mary, I'm talking about Jesus this week.
Do you remember?
Could you tell me what he was like at 21? Like, just,
but,
any,
I mean,
any insights?
Yeah.
If you think about, and this is unrelated really to this message, but so Paul helps plant this church. John is there. Mary's there. And who is it that is the most famous, quote unquote, famous pastor of this church? It's young Timothy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, that's where the legacy is. It's also a little sad that this is the church in Revelation, mm-hmm. would it be two or three?
Yeah.
That Jesus has some pretty strong words for. Not as strong as Laodicea, but pretty strong words. They've forsaken their first love.
Yeah. Go back to what you're doing at first.
Yeah. And so.
Which is very similar to kind of think about this. Like, mm-hmm. think about it. Don't forget.
Ponder, don't forget. Remember. And so I think that there's just a call there for Timothy, for all of us, to be people who ponder things deeply and not just go, oh, dang, man, Paul just gave me a great outline. I mean, Timothy could have done that. I mean, he could have just been like, this is a fantastic outline. I can use this on Sunday. I could get 3 weeks out of this. This week, we're talking about what it means to be an athlete for Christ. You know, this is what it, next week, we're going to talk about being soldiers. Come back next week. Bring a friend. Invite your one.
Yeah.
And so.
It's funny.
But it's more, it's like, no, ponder these things. Think deeply about them.
Yeah.
And let that just kind of influence the entire course of your life.
Well, you did give us a 3-point outline about what
we should.
You know, we always want to apply things and not, you know, we do want to think deeply.
Yeah.
But part of that is the application of those deep thoughts. And so pretty simple, straightforward, and easy to kind of package and take away outline, mm-hmm. What we do, what we say, and what we can pray.
Mm-hmm.
And so once again, kind of like the other three, we're each going to maybe speak on one of these. Let's start with what we do. Adam, you quoted James 1:22, don't just listen to the word, but do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourself. Over half of communication is your body language, and it's what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And more is caught than taught, some of those types of lines. Here's a question for you. Do you do something in a certain way because a parent did it that way? This is for both of you, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
You should ask my wife.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She'll say yes.
So one of the questions I get often is because like whenever I count to three, it's like I go like
uh-huh.
this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. With the
ring finger down.
Yeah.
And people ask me why I do that. And it's like, I really don't know. But I think, and I, I don't know if that's how my dad does it. I don't know if that's how, but there, if that was a coach that did it that way. I think if I remember right, I do believe that if Coach Armstrong or Coach Williams were calling out a play and it was three, that that would have been the way they would have done it.
It's probably easier to see.
It's very, it's a lot easier to see whenever you're on the sidelines, because this can look like a, if you're just like the, glancing at the coach, I mean, it can look like a two. Pretty easily. And so that would be one of those things that has been, you know, kind of caught. And like, I remember even hearing your dad, Josh, talk about something, and it was something very similar to where he had a mentor. And I don't remember if it was Doug Marks or if it was somebody else that had like actually lost a part of their finger. And so there, whenever they did something of that nature, and I can't remember if it was the number three or if it was the I love you sign or whatever it was. And that, no, it was resting on the face. Is what it was.
I don't know who this is, but.
Yeah, that he just talked about how it could have been somebody in the church in San Antonio. But whenever they rested their hand on their face, that because it was a nub, you know, there, it just was kind of like hidden. You know, there that your dad talked about how he caught himself resting his hand on his face, and he actually bent that finger down to like
imitate
unknowingly, because it had just been kind of like something he had observed. So he'd caught that.
So, Adam, keep talking then more spiritual, I guess, now. Just think about someone who influenced you by something they did, and then maybe some habits or rhythms you have because you just, you watched.
That would be Alan in a certain way. Hardcore on that one. You know, I was thinking about this the other day because somebody, I can't remember who I was reading, but they said that, you know, spiritual rhythms and spiritual habits are, they come in seasons. And so always be aware that there might be a time for those rhythms or habits that it may need to shift for the season that it's in, which I thought was interesting. But anyway, so I was just pondering, you know, Alan's rhythms and those kind of things. And it's like, I mean, those have been passed down to me.
Well, I think literally some of the specific journal prompts and just the way.
Well, even the devotional books that I read, or because it's like, Alan's like, I read this one every day. You know, his phrase, I break bread with the dead every day.
Blessings on your head.
Yeah, those things.
Things like that.
Yeah.
Well, we're grateful for him in a lot of ways here at Corinth. Whether you know, whether you even knew the name Alan or not, you should be grateful for him. So, Luke, give me some ideas for what our people can do as they have children and, you know, people that are learning from them. What can they do to be imitated?
All sorts of stuff, man. I think one of the things that Adam said on Sunday was just, does your kid catch you praying before a situation? Do they catch you reading your Bible? Do they catch you at church, even whenever there were a couple of different things to choose from and you chose church? Do they overhear you complaining or grumbling about other people? Or do they overhear you lifting up and blessing other people? You know, all of that with kids. You know, even beyond the familial context, though, just passing down legacy, or like, are you putting yourself into a position where other people can observe you? You know what I mean? Like, or is it I'm tunnel vision going about my life day by day by day by day by day, and not really surrounding myself with people to pass down the faith towards? So I think you got to take a little
That's a good word, too.
That's, you got to take a little bit of an inventory of the people in your life, because this 100% legacy is generational. It's familial. If you are a dad or a mom, your ministry is your family. So you pass down the faith to your family. But it's also bigger than that, and it's something that we all have to surround ourselves with people that we can pass down to. So jump in and serve would be another thing you could do, for sure.
Yeah. For sure. Step two was what we can say. Hebrews 10:24, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. So Luke, we're coming to you. this time.
Yeah.
I've always been challenged by just this idea that God, he spoke the world into existence, and we are made in the image of God. So our words literally create futures.
Yeah,
just like he does.
Words are life and death another scripture passage.
So who for you is someone that was either influential or you have seen this at play in their life just because how they speak?
Yeah, I always think about just my childhood and journey into ministry. This isn't a therapy session, so I won't go for so long on it. But the way that I grew up, and this was not intentionally done by my parents, because my parents are really faithful people. They love the Lord and they love us a lot. But unintentionally, I felt like I had to compete with one of my older brothers for love, attention, you know, all that sort of stuff. And, you know, going around, it was always like, oh man, this is, you know, you're his younger brother. You're his younger brother. You're following his footsteps, following his footsteps. And I kind of like created my identity around that.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until, my youth minister, Richard, and another minister at our church, Ronnie, pulled me aside and was like, no, like Luke, you are Luke.
Mm-hmm.
And we think you can actually do this and excel at this really make a huge kingdom impact in ministry. Those were forming words to me. And so that created a life, a future for me, no doubt.
Yeah. Adam, you gave a great illustration of Mark Scott. I think just speaking, you know, you might be a good preacher someday. Mm-hmm. And that stuck with you for, I mean, now, golly, it's been
a minute.
30 years ago.
Hey, not quite that long.
Yeah, close. Enough. And it rounds up.
What was your graduation year from Ozark?
Would have been, oh, when did I walk? I was done in fall of 01, but okay. Didn't walk until May of 02.
Okay. I gotcha.
So it's been 23 years.
23. There.
But whenever I would sit in this class, I was probably 19 years old, maybe 20. So it's been 26 years.
Yeah.
It's not 30 yet.
I mean, closer to 30 than it is to 20.
Hey, lay off. I did get some mail from AARP the other day.
Oh my goodness,
they're jumping the gun.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna piggyback on you, your idea, Luke, and just give some ideas for our people. How I'm gonna throw back to that quote. Just you underestimate or you overestimate maybe what you can do in one day, but you vastly underestimate what you can do in some decades. And so as a dad, I try to do this in my better days, but I need to be reminded that just those little quick things like, son, I'm proud of you, or do you know how beautiful you are? Like, those things matter so deeply. And Adam, I've heard you say even now, you know, today, your dad saying, son, I'm proud of you. Like, that has stuck with you.
Yeah.
So dads, say those little things. It'll take 5 seconds.
Yeah.
But over a lifetime, it's gonna mean the world. So third step was what we can pray, and we went to Matthew 9:38, which is the famous verse, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field.
Mm-hmm.
And so
it just takes me straight back to the Tuesday
picture.
Tours that I gave every single week.
Churches don't accidentally survive, Adam, you said.
Mm-hmm.
You gave some stats about average age of senior pastors and all of that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of torn here because I wrote this question for myself, just who is someone that prays Matthew 9:38? Well, I mean, I could probably list a lot of different people for a lot of different reasons. I mean, Alan, I think, would be one of them, just mm-hmm. by the way he influenced pastors to stick it out and go the long run. But someone who did pop into my head was Terry Butcher, who was the director of CLC for years, and just if you ever saw her carrying around this Bible, it had more post-it notes than pages, because I mean, it was so fat that she had made all these notes in it, and she was just a praying person all the time. Scripture, you cut her open and she bleeds scripture. And one of the things that she always encouraged us as our director in CLC is just, she would use this term missionaries, just to mean you're on the front lines of sharing the gospel. You're not just teaching a CLC class. And so challenging us just to continue to pray that more people would do that. And so she's one. Man, I think of so many though. So what, how can we do this? Adam, I'll go to you this time. Luke's had a turn. I've had a turn. How can our people pray this type of prayer? What can they do practically?
Well, I mean, I don't think this has to be overcomplicated one bit. I think you put doggone Mark 9:38 on a post-it note or screensaver or whatever it is, and you just make that a daily prayer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just add that to your prayer routine. God, please, you know, raise up more workers.
Yeah. And sometimes when we pray a prayer like that, God will answer it through something he's asking us to do.
Yeah.
Whether that's something we do or a person we raise or saying yes to a child going to a certain college or whatever. Yeah.
Can I jump in?
No.
No.
Darn it. Maybe next year after you turn 30.
No, I'm gonna jump in.
Jump in.
To the parents. Why is not vocational ministry something that your kid should pursue? I think sometimes that whenever we have career days at school and all that sort of stuff, it's not really on our mind. It's not a lot of what we think about our kids doing one day. Why not? That's all I'm asking.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I was going to CIY for all those years, and I remember them making a shift to kingdom work and expanding that, which is a good thing to have people think about. Anything you do can be kingdom work. But you're right, the vocational ministry maybe it doesn't get highlighted as much unintentionally or whatever.
They're shifting back to that. They're starting a program called Called.
Yeah.
Called. And
I don't mean that they ever shifted away from it.
Sure.
I think they were trying to expand the idea that you can be a kingdom worker, even if you're not a vocational minister, or we all should do kingdom work, but
yeah,
anyway,
yes, but
the stats, okay.
All right, you're going to keep us off our rants. All right.
Yeah. The stats, like you were saying, Adam, man, it's not trending the right direction right now. And we need to pump the pipeline.
It's horrible.
Of people who...
We've had 10 to 15 Bible... That's just in our movement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And over the past several years, just like shutter and just close their doors. Yeah. I mean, and it's because of lack of enrollment.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, no.
Well, you had this line, it's like watching farm fields being bulldozed and then wonder why there's no harvest.
Yeah.
So...
And I almost went more dramatic and saying being bulldozed and salted and then wondering why there's no harvest.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's like we're
it's and part of it is not just like it's definitely pray, but it's also encourage and support. And so, you know, we're spending too much time on this one, but I think of Joy Morgan, who is the lady who,
mm-hmm. yep,
both for my brother and I, who are serving in ministry, took away the burden of mm-hmm. paying for college.
Yep.
And that wasn't even something that we had to worry about.
Yep.
And you know, there are people that could do that
mm-hmm.
for other people. So why not? You know?
Yeah. And so just bringing it back in, the reason why this matters so much is it's like, I mean, I don't have any yet. What about my grandkids?
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to be their pastor?
Right. Right.
Where is that pipeline?
Mm-hmm.
What about my great grandkids? Where's their pastor coming from? Yep. What about my great great grandkids?
Yep.
Where's
yep.
And if we are seeing fewer and fewer young men and young women go into, you know, ministry training, and listen, churches are doing some amazing things with residency programs and those kind of things. Those are all fantastic. I would say not replacements. Could we use the word supplements?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. To training for vocational ministry.
Mm-hmm.
So those are all fantastic. And I remember something, once again, Josh, that your dad said in a class that has stuck with me for the almost 30 years that I haven't been in school, but is that the reason that places like Ozark Christian College and, you know, different places exist is because the local church hasn't done its job.
Mm.
And it's a bold statement, which is par for the course for your dad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there is something there, too, of like, you know, how can churches be providing the theological training to, you know, sure. do all those other things. But there is a place for higher education whenever it comes to training theologically. So,
yep.
Soapbox done.
All right.
Yeah.
So it's not
pray. Done.
Come talk to us about it yeah. and send your kids to Bible college.
Well, and so
and do it with a joyful heart.
And one of the things that we do here at Corinth to try to encourage that is we do offer scholarships. Now, they're not full ride scholarships. Mm-hmm. But it's not
it's not insignificant.
Insignificant amount that we do, but we do that to try to help out.
Yeah, for sure. So often whenever we hear something like what we can pray, unfortunately, sometimes that's just that's all we can do is pray, and that's not what we mean at all. So pray and send, pray and pray and pay,
nice.
Maybe. Okay, bottom line, let's get this
Fork
done
it
before
over.
We, tangent too far away.
All right, let's do a bonus episode.
Bottom line, legacy isn't something you just leave behind. It's something you pass on. So the intentionality is there. You're passing on, and it's relational. So it's someone you pass on, really.
Right.
The challenge, then, is to pick one of those. So do something, say something, pray something.
Mm-hmm.
Don't try to be a hero and do all three.
Mm-hmm.
Just pick one and do it. So, any last words?
Nope.
Lots of them.
Lots of them about that one thing, but we'll just leave it. We'll leave it.
All right. Well, let's end with a game called the Rating Game.
Actually, I do have one last word, and I did end up bringing it back to us, but I think it's important to remember that every single one of us who is listening to this podcast right now, we are standing where we are and standing on the shoulders of people who were intentional about passing the faith along.
Yeah.
And whether you grew up in this place or another place, you are standing on their shoulders. I am standing on their shoulders. And so it is our responsibility to do the same for the next generation and generation after that.
Yep.
So I do think that there's something to remember there.
Now, all right, we're going to play this game called the Rating Game. And Luke, I'm going to start with you. I am texting you a number right now. Do not say it out loud.
Okay.
But that's the number you're trying to get Adam to guess. And how you're going to get him to guess is you are going to give an example of three different things that are that rating on a scale of 1 to 10. Your three items are pizza chains, an NFL football team, and then how fun this certain book of the Bible is to read on a scale of 1 to 10. And he's going to try to guess our number.
That's
the end.
Fascinating. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
So it's like code words.
You know your number.
I know
and
the
you're
number.
Trying to get Adam to get to this number. And so you first start out with a pizza chain that is rated this.
In my opinion.
In your opinion.
Or in what I think his opinion is.
Sure. 1 to 10. All right. Start with pizza chain.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
And at home, you can play along, too.
I'm trying to remember. We've talked about pizza chains before, so I'm trying to remember Adam's preferences and opinions. And I'm going to say Pizza Hut.
Okay.
Pizza Hut.
Yeah.
On a scale of 1 to 10.
On
so
a scale of 1 to 10.
Okay.
Adam thinks it's this number.
Okay. Let's just get a preliminary guess. Where do you think we are right now, Adam, between 1 and 10?
Oh, probably about a 4.
Okay. So keep going, Luke.
Okay.
NFL football team on this same rating scale.
NFL football team on this same rating scale.
Yeah.
We're going to go, can I just give him a whole division?
Sure. Yeah. That's fine. He'll get it.
So, no, I'm going to say our at home Atlanta Falcons.
Okay. All right.
All right.
And then,
does he need to guess the number again or no?
The level of fun that it is to read this certain book of the Bible, pick a book. And that's a scale on 1 to 10, how fun it is to read. This is a bit hard, but it's
this
all right.
One's tough.
Yeah,
we'll go towards the prophets. We'll say something like Jeremiah.
Okay. All right. So scale of 1 to 10. What do you think Luke was trying to get you to guess?
I would probably say a 4.
Bingo.
Let's go.
Exactly right on.
That's what
all right.
I'm talking about.
So now, Adam, yep. I'm going to text you a number.
Okay.
So be ready for that. And
no peeking.
All right.
Do.
So, your first category.
Okay.
You're trying to get Luke to guess your number.
Okay.
Ice cream flavor.
Ice cream flavor.
Yes.
What I think Luke would say. All right. We'll go chocolate chip cookie dough.
Okay. Do you have a preliminary guess? We'll give you one.
So
give Adam some help to see if he's on the right track.
So, golly, I don't know if you know. That's not at all my favorite.
Okay.
But I don't know. Oh my goodness.
Just give me a number.
I think we're just gonna say this isn't the final answer, so we'll stay right at five for right now.
Okay. Okay. So your second category is the basketball players of all time.
Okay. Tim Duncan and David Robinson.
Okay. Basketball players of all time. Okay. All right. And your third is rate the disciple of Jesus that is this number.
Oh gosh.
James.
One to ten.
James.
Okay.
So, do you have a guess, 1 to 10, on what you think he traded?
So, Tim Duncan and David Robinson is definitely pushing it above a 5. But not all the way up to like a 9, 10. We're going to go with a 7.
You were so close. What's the number, Adam?
It's 8.
8.
Oh.
The number was 8. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you guys want to do one more round, or are we out of time?
I think we're out of time.
All right. We are out of time. I had 2 more rounds ready to go.
We can do that again next week.
The rating game was fun for me.
3.
I saw it on Dude Perfect with my son. So go watch it. It's fun. Those guys are great. Anyway, we'll be back next week for a brand new series. We'll be back in your car on the podcast as well. So we love you. We like you. We will see you soon.